Chapter 7. Insulin. I can make you fat. Actually, I can make anybody fat.
How?
By prescribing insulin. It won't matter that you have willpower or that you exercise. It won't matter what you choose to eat. You will get fat. It's simply a matter of enough insulin and enough time. High insulin secretion has long been associated with obesity. Obese people secrete much higher levels of insulin than do those of normal weight. Also, in lean subjects, insulin levels quickly return to baseline after a meal, but in the obese, these levels remain elevated. Insulin levels are almost 20% higher in obese subjects, and these elevated levels are strongly correlated to important indices such as waist circumference and waist-hip ratio. The close association between insulin levels and obesity certainly suggests, but does not prove, the causal nature of this relationship. Insulin levels can be difficult to measure since levels fluctuate widely throughout the day in response to food. It is possible to measure an average level, but doing so requires multiple measurements throughout the day. Fasting insulin levels, measured after an overnight fast, are a simpler one-step measurement. Sure enough, research reveals a close association between high fasting insulin levels and obesity, and this relationship becomes even stronger when we consider only a person's fat mass rather than his or her total weight. In the San Antonio Heart Study, high fasting insulin was tightly correlated to weight gain over 8 years of follow-up. As we shall see in Chapter 10, an insulin-resistant state leads also to high fasting insulin. This relationship is not coincidental, as insulin resistance itself plays a key role in causing obesity. So, we know that the association between elevated insulin and obesity has already been clearly established. The question now is whether this association is, in fact, a causal relationship. Does high insulin cause obesity? Putting it to the test. The insulin causes obesity hypothesis is easily tested. We can prove a causal relationship by experimentally giving insulin to a group of people and then measuring their weight gain. Therefore, for our experiment, here's our fundamental question. If you take insulin, will you get fat? The short answer is an emphatic yes! Patients who use insulin regularly and physicians who prescribe it already know the awful truth. The more insulin you give, the more obese you get. Insulin causes obesity. Numerous studies, conducted mostly on diabetic patients, have already demonstrated this fact. Insulin causes weight gain. Insulin is commonly used to treat both types of diabetes. In type 1 diabetes, there is destruction of the insulin-producing cells of the pancreas, resulting in very low levels of insulin. Patients require insulin injections to survive. In type 2 diabetes, cells are resistant to insulin and insulin levels are high. Patients do not always require insulin and are often treated first with oral medications. In the landmark 1993 Diabetes Control and Complications trial, researchers compared a standard dose of insulin to a high dose designed to tightly control blood sugars in type 1 diabetic patients. At the end of 6 years, the study proved that intensive control of blood sugars resulted in fewer complications for those patients. However, what happened to their weight? Participants in the high-dose group gained, on average, approximately 9.8 pounds, 4.5 kilograms more than participants in the standard group. Yowzers! More than 30% of patients experienced major weight gain. Prior to the study, both groups were more or less equal in weight, with little obesity. The only difference between the groups was the amount of insulin administered. Were these patients suddenly lacking in willpower? Were they lazier than they had been before the study? Were they more gluttonous? No, no, and no. Insulin levels were increased. Patients gained weight. Long-term studies in type 2 diabetes show the same weight-gaining effect of insulin. The United Kingdom Prospective Diabetes Study Group, organized in the 1970s, was at that time the largest and longest study ever done for type 2 diabetes. Its primary purpose was to determine if intensive blood glucose management was beneficial in treating type 2 diabetes, but there were many separate sub-studies within this study. Once again, two similar groups received standard versus intensive treatment. Within the intensive group, patients were given one of two treatments, either insulin injections or a sulfonylurea drug, which increases the body's own insulin secretion. Both treatments will increase insulin levels, although by different mechanisms. Insulin injections will raise serum levels higher than the sulfonylurea. What happened to the participants' weight? The intensive group gained an average of about 6.8 pounds, 3.1 kilograms. Those that were treated with insulin gained even more, about 9 pounds, 4 kilograms on average. Increased insulin levels, whether by direct insulin injection or the use of sulfonylurea, caused significant weight gain. Once again, insulin levels were increased. Patients gained weight. Newer types of long-acting insulin produced weight gain too. A 2007 study compared three different insulin protocols. What happened to the participants' weight? The study noted, patients generally gained weight on all regimens. Participants in the basal insulin group, which received the lowest average insulin dose, gained the least average amount of weight, 4.2 pounds, 1.9 kilograms. Those in the prandial insulin group, which received the most insulin, gained the most weight, 12.5 pounds, 5.7 kilograms on average. The intermediate group gained an average 10.3 pounds, 4.7 kilograms. The more insulin doctors gave, the more weight participants gained. And reducing caloric intake proved useless. In a fascinating 1993 study, high-dose insulin allowed virtual normalization of blood sugars in a group of type 2 diabetic patients. Starting from zero, the dose was increased to an average of 100 units per day over a period of 6 months. At the same time, patients decreased their caloric intake by more than 300 calories per day. The patients' blood sugar levels were great, but what happened to their weight? It increased by an average of 19 pounds, 8.7 kilograms. Despite eating less than ever, patients gained weight like crazy. It wasn't calories that drove their weight gain, it was insulin. Insulin also causes weight gain in non-diabetics. Consider what happens to patients with insulinomas, very rare insulin-secreting tumors usually found in non-diabetics. The estimated incidence is only 4 cases per million per year. This tumor constantly secretes very large amounts of insulin, causing recurrent episodes of hypoglycemia, low blood sugar. But what happens to body weight? A prospective case series showed that weight gain occurs in 72% of patients. Removal of the tumor resulted in cure in 24 out of 25 cases. Removal of malignant insulinoma led to rapid and sustained weight loss. A 2005 case study describes a 20-year-old woman diagnosed with insulinoma. She had gained 25 pounds over the year prior to her diagnosis. Increased caloric intake did not account for the weight gain. Reduced caloric intake did not account for the weight loss. The defining element was insulin. Its rise and fall corresponded to the rise and fall in weight. Oral hypoglycemic agents. We've seen that injections of insulin manufactured outside the body cause weight gain. There are, however, other medications called oral hypoglycemic agents that are taken by mouth and cause the body to produce more insulin. If these drugs also cause obesity, then that is extremely strong evidence of the causal link between insulin and weight gain. Sulfonylureas and metformin. Several pills are available for the drug treatment of type 2 diabetes. The sulfonylurea class work by stimulating the pancreas to produce more insulin to lower blood sugars. All drugs in this class are well known to cause weight gain. Another oral hypoglycemic agent is metformin. Metformin decreases the amount of glucose produced by the liver and increases glucose uptake by the muscles. Insulin, the sulfonylureas, and metformin all have different effects on insulin levels. Insulin raises blood insulin levels the most. The sulfonylurea drug class also raises insulin levels, but not as much as insulin, and metformin does not increase insulin at all. These three treatments were compared against each other in another study. There was no difference in blood sugar control between the metformin group and the sulfonylurea group. But what are the effects of the different treatments on weight? Participants in the insulin group experienced the most weight gain. More than 10 pounds, 4.5 kilograms on average. We raised insulin. Patients gained weight. Participants in the sulfonylurea group also gained weight, about 6 pounds, 2.5 kilograms on average. We raised insulin a little. Patients gained a little weight. Patients in the metformin group did not gain any more weight than those on diet alone. We didn't raise insulin. Patients didn't gain weight. Insulin causes weight gain. Thiazolidinediones. The thiazolidinediones class of medications works by increasing insulin sensitivity. Thiazolidinediones do not raise insulin levels. Instead, they magnify the effect of insulin, and as a result, blood sugars are lowered. Thiazolidinediones enjoyed tremendous popularity after their launch, but because of safety concerns about two of these drugs, rosiglitazone and pioglitazone, they are now rarely used. These drugs showed a major effect other than their blood sugar-lowering ability. By amplifying insulin's effect, this insulin sensitizer caused weight gain. Incretin agents. Incretin hormones are secreted in the stomach in response to food. These hormones may slow down stomach emptying, leading to the side effect of nausea and also cause a short-term increase in insulin release, but only in association with meals. Several drugs that increase the effect of incretins have been tested and in general are found to cause mild weight gain at worst, although study results vary. Certain incretin agents at higher doses promote weight loss, likely related to the slowing of the stomach emptying. We didn't raise insulin on a sustained basis. Weight was not gained. Incretin agents will be discussed in much greater detail in Chapter 17. Alpha-glucosidase inhibitors. The alpha-glucosidase inhibitor class of medication blocks enzymes in the small intestine that help to digest carbohydrates. As a result, the body absorbs less glucose and has lower blood glucose levels. Neither glucose use nor insulin secretion is affected. The decrease in absorbed glucose causes a small decrease in the patient's insulin levels. And what about weight? Patients had a small but statistically significant weight loss. We lowered insulin a little. Patients lost a little weight. SGLT2 inhibitors. The newest class of medication for type 2 diabetes is the SGLT2 sodium glucose-linked transporter inhibitors. These drugs block the reabsorption of glucose by the kidney so that it spills out in the urine. This lowers blood sugars, resulting in less insulin production. SGLT2 inhibitors can lower glucose and insulin levels after a meal by as much as 35% and 43%, respectively. But what effect do SGLT2 inhibitors have on weight? Studies consistently show a sustained and significant weight loss in patients taking these drugs. Unlike virtually all dietary studies that show an initial weight loss followed by weight regain, this study found that the weight loss experienced by patients on SGLT2 inhibitors continued for 1 year and longer. Furthermore, their weight loss was predominantly loss of fat rather than lean muscle, although it was generally modest, around 2.5% of body weight. We lowered insulin, patients lost weight. Non-diabetic medications. Certain medications unrelated to diabetes are also consistently related to weight gain and loss. A recent meta-analysis reviewed 257 randomized trials covering 54 different drugs to see which drugs are associated with weight change. The drug olanzapine, used to treat psychiatric disorders, is commonly associated with weight gain, 5.2 pounds, 2.4 kilograms on average. Does olanzapine raise insulin levels? Absolutely. Prospective studies confirm that it does. As insulin rises, so does weight. Gabapentin, a drug commonly used to treat nerve pain, is also associated with weight gain, averaging 4.8 pounds, 2.2 kilograms. Does it magnify insulin's effect? Absolutely. There are numerous reports of severe low blood sugars with this drug. It appears that gabapentin increases the body's own insulin production. Quetiapine is another antipsychotic medication associated with a smaller 2.4 pound, 1.1 kilogram average weight gain. Does it raise insulin levels? Absolutely. Insulin secretion as well as insulin resistance is increased after starting quetiapine. In all these cases, we increased insulin levels, people gained weight. I can make you thin. If insulin causes weight gain, can lowering its levels have the opposite effect? As insulin is reduced to very low levels, we should expect significant and severe weight loss. The SGLT2, sodium glucose-linked transporter inhibitors, which lower glucose and insulin, are an example of the effect that lowering insulin may have on weight, albeit in their case the effect is mild. Another more dramatic example is the untreated type 1 diabetic patient. Type 1 diabetes is an autoimmune disease that destroys the insulin-producing beta cells of the pancreas. Insulin falls to extremely low levels. Blood sugar increases, but the hallmark of this condition is severe weight loss. Type 1 diabetes has been described since ancient times. Aretaeus of Cappadocia, a renowned ancient Greek physician, wrote the classic description. Diabetes is a melting down of flesh and limbs into urine. No matter how many calories the patient ingests, he or she cannot gain any weight. Until the discovery of insulin, this disease was almost universally fatal. Insulin levels go way down. Patients lose a lot of weight. In the type 1 diabetic community, there is a disorder called diabulimia. Today, type 1 diabetic patients are treated by daily injections of insulin. There are some patients who wish to lose weight for cosmetic reasons. Diabulimia is the deliberate underdosing of insulin for the purpose of immediate and substantial weight loss. It is extremely dangerous and certainly not advisable. However, the practice persists because it is an extremely effective form of weight loss. Insulin levels go down, weight is lost. Mechanisms. The results are very consistent. Drugs that raise insulin levels cause weight gain. Drugs that have no effect on insulin levels are weight neutral. Drugs that lower insulin levels cause weight loss. The effect on weight is independent of the effect on blood sugar. A recent study suggests that 75% of the weight loss response in obesity is predicted by insulin levels, not willpower, not caloric intake, not peer support or peer pressure, not exercise, just insulin. Insulin causes obesity, which means that insulin must be one of the major controllers of the body's set weight. As insulin goes up, the body set weight goes up. The hypothalamus sends out hormonal signals to the body to gain weight. We become hungry and eat. If we deliberately restrict caloric intake, then our total energy expenditure will decrease. The result is still the same: weight gain. As the insightful Gary Tobbs wrote in his book, Why We Get Fat and What to Do About It, we do not get fat because we overeat. We overeat because we get fat. And why do we get fat? We get fat because our body's set weight thermostat is set too high. Why? Because our insulin levels are too high. Hormones are central to understanding obesity. Everything about human metabolism, including the body set weight, is hormonally regulated. A critical physiological variable such as body fatness is not left up to the vagaries of daily caloric intake and exercise. Instead, hormones precisely and tightly regulate body fat. We don't consciously control our body weight any more than we control our heart rates, our basal metabolic rates, our body temperatures, or our breathing. These are all automatically regulated, and so is our weight. Hormones tell us we are hungry, ghrelin. Hormones tell us we are full, peptide YY, cholecystokinin. Hormones increase energy expenditure, adrenaline. Hormones shut down energy expenditure, thyroid hormone. Obesity is a hormonal dysregulation of fat accumulation. Calories are nothing more than the proximate cause of obesity. Obesity is a hormonal, not a caloric imbalance. The question of how insulin causes weight gain is a much more complex problem, to which all the answers are not yet known. But there are many theories. Dr. Robert Lustig, a pediatric obesity specialist, believes that high insulin levels act as an inhibitor of leptin, the hormone that signals satiety. Leptin levels increase with body fat. This response acts on the hypothalamus in a negative feedback loop to decrease food intake and return the body to its ideal weight. However, because the brain becomes leptin resistant due to constant exposure, it does not reduce its signal to gain fat. In many ways, insulin and leptin are opposites. Insulin promotes fat storage. Leptin reduces fat storage. High levels of insulin should naturally act as an antagonist to leptin. However, the precise mechanisms by which insulin inhibits leptin are yet unknown. Both fasting insulin and fasting leptin levels are higher in obese people, indicating a state of both insulin and leptin resistance. The leptin response to a meal was also different. In lean people, leptin levels rose, which makes sense, as leptin is a satiety hormone. However, in obese subjects, leptin levels fell. Despite the meal, their brains were not getting the message to stop eating. The leptin levels resistance seen in obesity may also develop due to self-regulation. Persistently high leptin levels lead to leptin resistance. It is also possible that high insulin levels may cause increased weight gain by mechanisms unrelated to leptin in pathways yet to be discovered. The crucial point to understand, however, is not how insulin causes obesity, but that insulin does, in fact, cause obesity. Once we understand that obesity is a hormonal imbalance, we can begin to treat it. If we believe that excess calories cause obesity, then the treatment is to reduce calories. But this method has been a complete failure. However, if too much insulin causes obesity, then it becomes clear we need to lower insulin levels. The question is not how to balance calories. The question is how to balance our hormones. The most crucial question in obesity is how to reduce insulin.